Hey guys, so this is podcast number two, and I have asked our special guest Lydia to come on today's podcast. Thank you very much for joining me, darling.
You're welcome. In the lounge,
at home, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about our origins of the gym and how it came about, because we've never actually spoken about it.
It's just like this secret for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it needs to be said because it's a beautiful story.
What do you think is beautiful about this? Would you like me to go, or would you like to describe your experience of us starting the gym?
Summary of how you think it's been going.
Well,
so why it started.
So when Henry was due to be born back in July 2013, I was working selling solar PV panels, or doing a very bad job at selling solar PV panels, because I didn't sell any for 3 months that I was at this company.
You did a lot of practicing your double under.
A lot of double under practice in that time. And Henry was born, and I left the job doing that, and we decided that it was a good time to set up a gym, because I wanted to do something that I felt really passionate about. I wanted to show that to Henry. I wanted to show that you could go and do these plans that you had in your head and actually bring them to fruition. And I'd had the idea of a gym before then, but it was really just then when I started taking action on it and actually looking at sites, weren't we?
Yeah, and then
getting the money together to do it.
Yeah, it was one of those moments. We felt invincible. We just had a baby. We were feeling really super healthy. We were on keto. We were doing a lot of exercise. We felt like we were winning. Your job didn't suit you, and you really wanted to. You wanted something to bring people together, and that was your overriding thing, was creating a community of healthy people and a different kind of lifestyle, because West Sussex 10 years ago was
nowhere near as focused on strength.
No weightlifting, nothing, and it was super behind. And I said, well, if you want to start a CrossFit gym, it's got to be called CrossFit Chichester. And if you want to do it, you better do it now before someone else does it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
And I said I'd support you for as long as you need to get it up and running. And that's what we did. I luckily had plenty of work on, didn't I, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gave you the room to find some funding, find a location, and just dive in. Completely naked.
Yeah, we were diving in a bit naked. I think I'd been qualified as a CrossFit level one for a year. I'd used a little bit of money that I'd had from my late granny to pay for it, which is probably a whole other story in and of itself, because of where I did it and how I got to there. But then we decided that we would just go and do the gym and just literally go straight in. And we didn't, but it was on the proviso that we found someone else to go and do it, wasn't it? So we partnered up with Claude.
Lovely Claude. Yeah. And he bought some experience from where he'd been travelling.
Yeah.
And he had met the guys out at Mad Lab in Canada and really loved the system. So we really liked the idea of it, doing 10 PTs with everyone to introduce them to the fundamentals of CrossFit, which a lot of people needed back then, because literally no one was doing functional movement. And
I mean, it was a system at the beginning, wasn't it?
It
worked for a time. I think that the and then we were looking at units, and we looked at one smaller unit that was about 1,000 square feet or 1,200 square feet.
Yeah.
And then we had a choice between that and a 2,000 square foot unit, and I think we just thought, well, let's just go into the bigger one.
Bigger one, renovate it by hand. So we were pulling out the mezzanine all by hand.
Oh God, yeah.
I think we had one guy helping us, but
Steve.
We did Yeah, with a baby strapped to me, yeah. We did a lot of the heavy lifting ourselves. And there's pictures of Henry kind of lying on stable mats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
We've still got photos of that.
And I love it. And I feel like we're still in that state of kind of building an entrepreneurial kind of spirit and the beginning of adventure. And it kind of feels like we're still doing that.
Yeah, we're still lucky enough to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting. Still doing it. Yeah, 10 years later, just still kind of learning all the time, looking at new creative ideas of how to run this business and how to deliver the best, the best package for people. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we started, we knew very little. And it took us quite a long time to actually get to the stage where we could actually train people out of that gym, because we I think it took us 3 months, didn't it, to get that gym fully ready for it, because it was like we had so much renovation work and we did all of it ourselves.
I think our budget was 4,000 to renovate the whole lot.
We had a handmade custom-made rig. Yeah, we couldn't get, because all the other rigs were too expensive. So we got the whole thing done for under $2,000, I think.
Yeah,
massive, massive rig. Whereas most of them were going for about double that. And then we got a load of kit. I think we got about 10k's worth of kit from Bulldog. Like old competition kits. So it came. So it was
nothing was on finance. We got everything paid up front.
We borrowed money
and we had a little bit of help from your dad and my dad. It was peanuts though, really.
Yeah.
And we started off our classes with two clients.
Yeah.
And
one of them is actually still with us. In fact, we've still got a few OGs, so like Ed Rees and Jeremy Falk.
Yeah, two of our oldest,
Philip Huxham, Ed Rees and Jezza Falk. I think Jezza was client number one or two, and that is amazing considering he's still with us, which is amazing. So thank super you, strong. Jezza, stalwart, sticking through us, all the way through. Oh, amazing, yeah, really, really appreciative of people like that in our life, I think.
100%. Absolutely love him, and we went to his wedding, and we have mutual friends now. And
kids
the
same age.
We know their kids, and seriously, kind of our family, and it's part of that community that we definitely wanted to create.
Yeah.
A safe place for a lot of people to go outside of their own families, which might not have been that great, and work and the pressures of work. So.
What. So I'm interested to know, like, what did you, I mean, obviously, we'd only been together for a short period of time, but like, I'd probably been telling you about doing this gym, but what was the main thing that you felt when I said, right, well, let's just do it now?
I felt brilliant because I was like, I've had my own business, but I really wanted to create something local, whereas all my work was, I had to go away to do it, big projects away from home. I wanted a business where we would be based where we live and we would be part of a community. So when you said it, I was like, yeah, you're so young. Mm. You're 23, 24 at this point, and you actually know what you want to do. And you know it so thoroughly.
Mm.
Through every bit of you, because you just weren't happy. I mean, you were great at selling. I mean, maybe not PVC panels, but you were great at selling like ski holidays, and you were and you'd been looking around at a whole lot of other career paths, but you really wanted this. And I was like, fuck it, why should we wait another 10 years till you've got more experience? And I'm a big one for diving in and working it out as you go along. And so I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
Yeah. still in.
So we went in, and I knew it would be...
It was going to be a slow burn, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was going to be a slow burn. It was going to be a slow grow. And things became very clear that it was going to be a slow grow. And so it...
Certainly the way that we did it.
Yeah.
I think the way that we did it was possibly left a few things to be desired, but I think
we made lots of mistakes, and we didn't We had no idea what those mistakes would ever be because we didn't know.
It's what you don't know that you don't know.
What you don't know, what you don't know, and that was it. And it was a slow burn, and we did take a hit on our lifestyle because we had to support the gym.
But it was our lifestyle.
It continues to be our lifestyle.
It continues to be our lifestyle,
and obviously it's much better now, and it's really great. Yeah. But we, you know, and we owe so much to having the business of the gym. It came to buying houses and, you know, putting our kids in school and... you know, those are basically the two things we've done with it. But, you know, it was at that point a massive kind of like, okay, I've been earning a lot of money for a long time and now it's probably going to be a lot less because we've got another kid on the way shortly after Henry arrived. He arrived 2 years later and the gym still wasn't, creating enough income to support us in any way.
That was when you did the clean job, wasn't it?
Yep. So I carried on working, which was fine.
So and actually, guys, for anyone's listening, probably Lydia's story is probably more interesting than mine because actually,
definitely more interesting.
Because in the middle of all of this, she worked for several many high profile clients who doing their sort of giant screen visuals and creative work for them when they went on tour. So what you see on the big screens behind a band, that would be Lydia creating that. And so
that was before a lot of stuff was automated. So you know, that was kind of like at the end of the peak of that kind of career that I had, creating video graphics or visual graphics for live events. And it was good. I'd had a 10 years of work before, you know, we even started the gym, and I was able to carry that on for a long time up until last year. But with three kids now and the gym being, you know, so big, and that's where we are. But yeah, my story's definitely a lot more interesting, actually.
There's a lot more.
No one has to beat Archie up more than Archie beats himself up.
I think the main thing with the gym is it can get quite monotonous because you're doing the same thing day after day. Mm. But you're always developing it. So it can feel like Groundhog Day a little bit at the time. And there were times when it very much felt like that because be up at 5:30 a.m. Mm. Be getting out the door, get to the gym for 6 or before 6, then you deliver a class, then you maybe do another class.
The good thing that worked in your favour, I think, is that we've always like really missed you at home.
Mm.
And so you're still like really, we always really look forward to seeing you when you get home, because obviously with kids, I'm just saying, it works in your favour.
Yeah,
you know, if you had any other job and you were here all the time, you know, maybe things would be different right now.
Yeah, that's true. Although we are here now, it's 2 p.m. in the afternoon on a
it's nice.
Tuesday.
Yeah, but the kids aren't here. So
kids aren't, no, that's
and
true.
I would caution anyone with young kids or maybe encourage it if you want to be out of the house at the worst times of the day, which is the morning and the evening.
Mornings and evening, which is when
little kids are
the
hardest.
Yeah.
And life is hardest for you know, looking parents of little kids. Start a gym because you have a really good excuse not to be there. But we have therapy about that, so it's okay. We're all good.
Yeah.
But it's taken a lot of strength and discipline and consistency for both of us to stick out this life we chose running this gym. And you know, it doesn't.
I think it opens you up for a lot of criticism when you do something like this for this long. When you interact with this many people at this kind of level, people take things personally. You take things personally. I think that, you know, especially when in the beginning when people left, that was the thing that I used to take really personally.
Oh, my goodness. When you put so much time as, and I wasn't coaching at that point, and I'm not coaching at the moment, but there was a period where I coached. You put so much time going to classes, chatting to members, learning about their lives, offering advice, offering support on a personal level, on a professional level. And and seeing them leave, and also some of them not saying goodbye when they leave. You know, everyone has their own journey, fitness journey, and they need to go and find the right place that works for them. But when people leave, gosh, it really does
hurt. You do take it personally.
It feels like friends just walked out of your life, and then suddenly you go from like really looking forward to seeing someone every day, and then they're out. So I would, yeah, definitely say to any members who are thinking about leaving right now, please just send a goodbye. And it's not the end. And we don't, you know, we don't have to not ever see you again just because you left our gym. You genuinely have made an impact on us and you are our friend. And we, you know, we really, if we act like you are our mate in the class or in the gym, it's because you are.
That's a really good point to make. I think it is. I think when certainly from our perspective, because we come into contact with so many people.
Lots and lots and lots of people.
It can always feel like you're on a lot of the time, and sometimes it can be quite nice to not be sort of this, you know, incredible, inspiring coach. It's just to be Archie or be Lydia. I think that is, it's something to take in mind, but again, it's not your job. At the end of the day, we've been in this a long time now. So, you know, when it does come down to people leaving, I think that's one of the things that you do take really hard in the beginning. You know, we...
And then you understand.
We understand.
And then you understand. It's nothing personal. And then you don't have to, like...
And it's... And now, you know, we're much better at it. And especially because I usually have a chat with people on that. It's made such a difference. Just because then you understand a bit more clearly where the other person is at. It's like any relationship, I guess.
It's like, why didn't I offer you enough?
the ghosting. Yeah. Sometimes it can feel... Yeah. So in the beginning, it felt like getting dumped. Yeah, like getting dumped, like, month, right. Every month. So that was like,
but also on the upside, it's like every single member that joins and loves the class, you feel like, cool, I'm getting this right, we're getting this right, you're doing a great job. Everyone who pays month after month membership to be part of your gym that you've created, and you know, the design of the programming and the consistency of the coaching, and just staying open week after week, month after month, to offer people the opportunity to train CrossFit before anyone else was out there was a really good thing to do. And so I will never regret it, although Archie thinks I'm lying. Probably.
No, I don't think you're lying. Not at all.
No, I think
I think with anything, it's always a journey, and there's always a process. And I think at the beginning of the journey, when we started, we had no idea what we would have to go through to get to where we are today.
Yeah,
I think we probably would have checked out if we'd have known what we.
Yeah,
we probably would have stopped way sooner if we'd have known.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were times when, you know, we had absolutely no money to pay for anything. Yeah. And we had three kids in the house, or two kids in the house, and that was really scary. It was pretty desperate. And the one thing I'd say, if anyone is in that situation, is...
Keep going.
Keep going, definitely. Keep going. Keep going. But remember that...
Confront the problem.
Yeah, there you go. All the bumper lines, but Archie's right. Action is the answer. And for times when, especially if you're a mum and you're tired, the answer is tomorrow will happen. Whatever happens, you know, and the time will go, and the next day will come, and nothing dramatic is going to happen. Yeah. There might be a bit of argy bargy with admin and doing some different type of work or you know, adapting, but it happens at a pace that you will be able to cope with. And whatever happens, the sun will rise, and the world will keep turning. And when you think about that, it does help you keep in perspective, like, you know, some of the desperate times that come, you know, it might not help you kind of in a fiscal way or like a feeding your kids kind of way. But, you know, we're in such a wonderful country, and the dark times do pass. So you just got to hold on is what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's also realizing that there's opportunity in the things that you do. And I think that you can be one decision or like one conversation away from your life being a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And I think we've realized that like time and time again when it's been tough.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, when we get, you know, when someone signs up, it's like best day ever. You know, it's really good.
Yeah.
Because it's because you do appreciate it, because at times... that doesn't always happen, and you keep you doubt yourself.
I think it was like a wasn't September I think it was a September a few years ago. I can't remember what it was. And we were seriously thinking of, like, what the hell are we doing? Should we start shutting this business down?
I can't remember.
But then suddenly we had, like, 20 people sign up. And I don't know what we'd done. You know, I don't know what...
I think it's darkest before dawn.
Yeah, yeah. It got really dark. And then suddenly we got this kind of lift and everything changed and our direction changed because we decided, wow, we're going to need to get bigger.
Need a bigger gym. let's do it bigger. Yeah. Let's get another site.
Oh my God. No. Let's borrow a lot of money and let's go into a really big unit and get it, you know, via a personal friend.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then run out of money then. And then that was something else with a house in the mix.
I didn't sleep at all for that. I remember that in 2018. I literally was waking up in cold sweats, I think, for about 6 months.
And then I was pregnant again. Archie's Whoop data is so interesting because when we opened the second gym at Emsworth, it was extremely stressful. And Archie's HRV, his heart rate variability, went down about 20 points on average and stayed down there for months. Every month the gym was...
It got worse.
Yeah, it got worse and worse. Until...
The heart rate got higher. Resting heart rate went higher. And HRV went down.
It went down and down.
Blood pressure went up.
You know, we learned a lot of lessons with our coaches and how to manage people. And, you know, we take a lot of responsibility for that. But
you just grow. I think you just grow as a person, you know, when you go through things. And you
since closing that down... thankfully, his HRV has shot right back up, and that is a really good outcome of that was a costly mistake.
I don't know. I think the thing is with
costly
that,
learning experience.
Yeah, they're expensive learning experiences, isn't it? And I think that's the thing. And it's not only expensive on your bank account; it's expensive on your life. And I think when making any decision to go and do something which you know is going to stretch you, I think it's realizing what the cost of that. The real cost of that is going
to
be.
Yeah, so how you're going to respond to friends, your family, your with each other. How isolated you are when you're spending all your time and money in one place. And so, yes, that was costly. But...
I think it's... So for us, it's been a constant process of just backing ourselves.
Yeah.
Every single time when things have got hard, which at times they have done, I think... the only person to bet on is yourself and to get the work done and to go and do the things that you know you can do to make the difference. Because sometimes I think that, I don't know about you, I felt kind of a bit powerless to be able to solve my problems. But actually when you realise you start working, you start getting things done, then you suddenly realise you're in a lot more control than you've previously thought. And that's like an iterative daily process of realising I can do this. I can do this.
Because the layers of confidence you build just comes from the layers of experience you have. So every rubbish experience we've had has actually given us, it has given us, a place to refer to when we, you know, see these situations arising again. And so actually over 10 years, we have built up a shed load of layers of knowledge of how to do this. And
So anyone who, you know, you might be just heard of, what's the if you've heard us like not very much before, if you're just literally coming on to listening to this, we were the first gym in Chichester.
We were the first functional fitness gym and CrossFit gym. Also yes, there wasn't anyone else doing it. We started in Portsmouth, where it was just Glenn and Michelle, who started off.
They really put their neck out. They were doing it right at the beginning.
It was brilliant. That was where I had my second date with Archie. And I was just thinking my numbers...
And they asked you back, they wanted you in a team.
They wanted me in a team, like, straight away. I was strong, but, you know, I was thinking of my numbers, because I could back squat, like, I was like, oh, I back squatted 90, and now I can back squat, like, 165.
140. No, you deadlifted 165, you've squatted.
Anyway, I have actually back squatted 160. Archie, it is literally online, but Archie will not accept it, because it's more than him. But, And my deadlift, is now 165, almost 170. So I think that I have actually improved my weight by 100%, like overall, almost.
Yeah.
And, 70 to 100%.
Go from like no pull-ups to like...
Three.
Yeah, but no pull-ups. But like I remember in the previously when you...
Before Josephine, like, I got, you know, seven, so and eight, seven, ten, or eight. Or, yeah.
Nearly ten.
Nearly ten.
Nearly ten.
Eight is nearly ten. But yeah, lots have changed physically in 3 years of doing that. But, you know, I've just got stronger and stronger. 43, strongest I've ever been. You know, just attend regularly.
You are strong. I mean, you've every always been week.
Always been strong, but a lot stronger.
But you're a lot stronger.
Yeah, and I didn't. I had no idea between the ages of 33 and 43 you can put on that much strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when the first time I met you, you did. So we were deadlift. I remember when I was doing those deadlifts in the Nuffield.
Yeah.
I had like 130 on the bar.
Yeah.
And you just lifted it.
Yeah, but then I had bad back for like 3 weeks after.
You didn't. You never told me that.
No, I did.
You told me. You never
mentioned
that.
I could hardly bend for like a long time.
Yeah.
So.
I did say, I was like, it's probably the only time I've seen your back round.
I think it was 130. I think it was like 90. But yeah, my back does not round now. Not even. I can't even make it round, which is probably going to be a new problem.
I think it's. But you're. I mean, you've always, you know, you've got a go switch. So when you go into the workout, you just switch off your brain and just go until your body stops.
My brain definitely doesn't switch off, but it's just going.
You just work harder than anyone else.
But yeah, I definitely enjoy that intensity. And what Archie always reminds me is that I'm high skill and low motivation. So my only problem is sticking to my my schedule and getting in as many times as should do, but you know, getting in 3 times a week has maintained a really high level of fitness and strength. And
I think it's one of the things you think about in the beginning CrossFit. I mean, like, you think you have to be there like 5 or 6 days a week to get any better, but actually you really don't.
No, you just have to be doing it.
Yeah, just doing it 2 or 3 times a week, and that's all it takes.
You've got to have an environment and the people and the community around you and the help to keep you wanting to go in. And
and do things like, little things like prepping, cooking chicken breast.
Yes, yeah.
Get ready to cook chicken breast.
Oh my God. So
just get used to cooking that regularly.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I would have probably, without the 6-week challenge that we started over a year ago now, without that kind of... We had a moment where we were like, right, we need to sort out people's diets more than we need to sort out their training,
their squat,
because diet is literally where the information comes from and the energy levels come to getting that, you know, that regular exercise in. So that's it, really. The hormone balancing food to be able to keep you balanced and keep your energy levels even. So you are like, yeah, I can go to the gym today. I'm going to stick to my schedule, you know. And on a...
Do you notice that when you've had days that...
Definitely,
are like,
definitely. So when I'm on plan, let's call it, I will definitely just do my schedule. I'll just be okay. I'll make sure I get to the gym and then I'll get everything done on my list that I wanted to get done. And on days that I've been like, oh, what's the point? You know, I ate all that last night or I ate your stuff yesterday or I've eaten badly this morning already. You know, and then you're like, oh, maybe I won't bother going to the gym. And that's what lots of... Don't laugh, Mr. Robot.
It's true.
But that's what lots of people...
Hey, I took like 4 days off last week training. Five. Yeah. I didn't do anything I didn't do anything Thursday, Friday,
Saturday. Do you think
they're
bored of listening to us ramble on now? Because this is like... It's turning into like one of our date conversations.
Maybe.
ramble.
But it's interesting because I think that... I mean, you might may or may not be finding this interesting. You may not be, but... I think that starting out from anything, I think it's important to understand that there are lessons in everything that you do. And we have found that there have been a huge number of lessons that we have learnt and gone through as a result of doing the gym for the last 10 years. Also with the relationships, you and I.
Damn, yeah.
Because of everything that we've gone through and all the challenges that we've got, you know, and learning how to be like measured about it, communicate with each other what we need and what we need to go and do. I think that plays a massive part in where.
Although we've done all the boring stuff now, we should just do more fun stuff.
Well,
like the boring stuff we've done the counselling and the therapy and the and the learning about each other's. You know, why each other does the things we do. And
I would say that's one of the reasons why we are where we are. It's because we want to do that.
But I think now is the time for more fun times. and less talking times. Yes?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so looking at me like, I just want to talk, actually. No,
well, guys, look, thank you so much for listening if you've made it this far. We really appreciate you.
If you finish in 15 seconds, it'll be under half now.
Oh, amazing. Well, look, guys, thank you very much. And we would just like to say that if you do have any, if you like this podcast, you can share it. And if you are interested in having a chat about your health and fitness, then just get in touch with us there. Cheers, guys. Bye.